Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, we're very, very close. How are you?
I'm great. We're recording this on a Thursday evening. 1 week from now, they will be pre-gaming it up like crazy, about to do the first game of the season. I couldn't be more excited. I'm pretty psyched up.
This is bad. You would think I would know this. What is the Thursday game? I don't even know.
Oh, Atlanta at Philly. Maybe no Wentz, no Alshon. Should be a good one.
It will be a good one. Lots of fantasy implications there right off the bat. And it does seem like Wentz is not going to play. It kind of feels like one of those things we should have expected all along, but at the same time, it's a bit of a surprise. That's tough news. I don't know. Maybe our guest has some insight on that one because he is his specialty is super flex. We've got Travis Rasmussen from DLF. Travis is also co-host of the Superflex Super Show over at DLF, and he's got a brand new podcast as well. Travis, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, tell us about this new podcast, the Travis NFL Fantasy Football Show. Is that right?
Yeah, I decided to keep it simple, stupid on that one. So yeah, it's just myself. It's basically 30 minutes or less, just quick hitting redraft based fantasy football.
Nice, good stuff. And let's go back to the Wentz conversation. Like I said, your specialty, I guess, in the industry and at DLF is Superflex. What are your thoughts on the whole Wentz situation? Do you think it's just going to be a one or two game deal and we'll kind of forget about it by midseason, or is there more to see here?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think he might even still start next week. I don't think that's a done deal at all. And
yeah, no, you're probably right.
You're right.
Yeah, and I mean, by the time week 4 or 5 comes around, it'll be like it never happened.
I hope you are right, Travis. That would be good. I've got a few Carson Wentz shares that I need out there. Guys, today we're going to answer some listener questions. We'll talk about a lot of topics that the fantasy and the dynasty community are wondering about or talking about as the season gets even closer. And Matt, we're going to start with one right up your alley. This is a Steelers question coming from Garrett. Garrett says, after the success in the preseason, can James Conner be the future in Pittsburgh? We've talked a little bit about this. I've been really impressed with Conner this year, especially after the rough rookie season he had. How is he being viewed there in Pittsburgh? Is he going to get a chance a year from now to be the guy? Or I guess, will this season determine that?
I lean towards no, but he's been very impressive in the preseason. And I thought this game 3 of the preseason was really impressive, too, in that they treated him like he was Le'Veon Bell in that game. They split him out wide a lot. They asked him to do Le'Veon Bell-type things. And he's much improved as a receiver. He's a better pass blocker. He's lost a little weight. He's moving much better. So I actually think that the smart move would be when Bell, who's supposed to report on Monday, does actually join the team, that maybe the first week or two of the season, you give Bell 60% of the touches or 2/3 of the touches. And I think Connor's earned that right, where a year ago he hadn't, until you're comfortable that Bell has, you know, his legs under him. But that's not the question. The question is, a year from now, if Bell's with the Colts or somebody, would Conner be considered in the mix to be the man? I lean towards no, but I'm much more receptive to it than I was a month ago.
None of us really know for sure how this season is going to play out or free agency next year with Bell. And we just don't know. What we really need to know from you, though, is, at this point, as dynasty owners, should we be buying James Conner?
Yes, because, I mean, I don't... It's probably pie in the sky to think that the Steelers are going to add a great running back if Bell leaves. I mean, maybe it's Tevin Coleman. Maybe it's Montgomery at the end of the first round. But probably it's another second, third rounder like Conner. And they battle it out or they split time or whatever. But I don't think his stock is going to dramatically drop. They're not going to go get Zeke Elliott or somebody. I mean, and I don't think Bell's going to be back, so I think he's in the mix.
Travis, any thoughts on James Conner or that whole Pittsburgh backfield?
Yeah, I generally agree there. I think he's a good buy still, even just for the fact that, you know, he'll have a value boost at some point, at which point he's going to be more valuable than he is right now sometime in the next 12 months. So what you do at that point is going to benefit you either way. So I think there's going to be an out window regardless of who they bring in next year.
Not to mention, as much as just about any, quote, handcuff in the league, if his starter goes out this year, he's an immediate start. He might be a top 10 type of back because the situation's so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys as well. I guess my only sticking point might be after an impressive preseason, Bell hasn't been there. His price has been rising. If I want to buy him, I might wait until week 4 or 5. Bell saw a higher percentage of touches than any other running back last year, I believe. And Matt, I think you're probably right that Connor eats into that a little bit, but once he gets going, probably not as much as we might want to see if you're a Connor fan. So maybe wait a month, wait 6 weeks, and then the Connor price might come back down a little bit.
That's good advice, unless, of course, Bell stubs a toe or gets hurt or anything.
Sure.
Because Tomlin's history really shows he's a one-back guy.
All right, let's move on. And Travis, the next question is especially for you. That first one was for Matt. But along with all of your podcast and your fantasy football work on your bio, I noticed that you're a big Chris Warren fan. Joe says, who's a better RB stash, Chris Warren or Ito Smith?
Yeah, I can't not go Chris Warren on this one. I've talked him up so much he was in my top 10 pre-draft, and so it's been super cool to watch him go out and kill it like he has been. Obviously, preseason rushing stats don't matter, but he is leading the league in rushing in the preseason. So more importantly, though, I mean, he's looked awesome, man. That's the power that he's shown. I mean, he's just trucking dudes and running through guys. He's breaking tackles. And I think that he's played himself into a roster spot. And potentially, if he keeps up that level of play, I don't see how they can keep him off the field. So I think he's going to get a shot at some point. And Ito Smith,
Yeah. I think we're all telling ourselves the story of some Ito Smith value a year from now when Tevin Coleman leaves. And
it's very possible.
That could play out, but the Warren thing is, he is intriguing to me. He's not a guy I was really on like you were through the pre-draft process. I mean, I remember when he was a top recruit 3 or 4 years ago, and Matt, you probably remember when his dad's heyday.
That was a good player.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of remember that, but probably not as well as you do. But I honestly just didn't think much of him. But we've talked about him on the DLF podcast as well. And my co-host over there, Matt Price, who we've had on this show as well, made a really good point that being there in Oakland with Gruden is probably the best place that a guy like Warren can be. He's not a threat to catch the ball. He's that old school pound it, you know, down your throat, Travis, kind of like you said. And that's exactly what Gruden wants to do.
Right. Big, heavy tight ends and fullbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it really is an intriguing landing spot. My only concern, if you're talking Ito Smith versus Chris Warren, is I don't know if we can trust Gruden and that coaching staff to even keep him. There's five name running backs there, and I would think at least one of them is going to go. Maybe it's DeAndre Washington at this point. It probably should be Doug Martin. But I just hope Warren can hang on to that roster spot.
You know, Warren obviously isn't ideal for PPR leagues, but don't you guys both agree that he's been the more impressive of the two? And I also see a cleaner path to relevancy if Lynch retires and Martin stinks. And all of a sudden, who's the banger?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the non-PPR factor was... Sorry, go ahead.
No, no, that's fine. Go ahead, Travis.
I was just saying the whole non-PPR factor for Chris Warren was the one real concern that I had with him going in, and you're right. I mean, when he landed in Oakland, there's nowhere better he could have gone. So I think the stars are aligning, and he's done everything that he could possibly do himself to earn a spot in this league. So it's just exciting to watch the guy.
Yeah, it really is. And Travis, I will disagree with you on one point. You said preseason stats don't matter. I actually think they do matter. And guys like Warren are a good example of why they do, at least in my opinion, because like I said, he's not a guy I was really high on, or I mean, I was aware of him certainly, but that's about it. So just the preseason games and his playing time and his performance has opened my eyes to him a little bit, and there's other players like him that I do think, especially for those guys, preseason matters. Let's stick with the Raiders offense. Question from Dan. Will the Raiders offense bounce back with Gruden, or are you staying away? I think that's one of the big questions of the offseason in general, from both just an NFL football perspective as well as a fantasy and dynasty point of view. How is this Gruden reemergence going? How's it going to go? Matt, what are your thoughts? Do you think he can transition back? Is he too old school at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's very old school, and this is a problem in terms of team building and philosophy. But I think he's also a very good play caller, feel for the game, you know, when to, you know, going against tendencies. And he's got a pretty good group. And Gruden's history also suggests to us that he likes to pepper a true number one wide receiver. And clearly that's Amari. And I think it's a real make or break year for him. He's got a good quarterback. The line's quite strong. So even though he wants to play 1985 pounded football with Lynch and Warren and fullbacks and big tight ends and things, that's also kind of going against the grain, and it might be a zig when people are zagging. I don't like the overall philosophy and team building, but I think the offense can be decent. But the defense is going to be awful, by the way.
Yeah, it seems that way. Travis, are you chasing Amari Cooper in Dynasty? Do you believe in a Derek Carr bounce back? Just give us some general Raiders thoughts.
My notes for this question were actually, I'm staying away from everybody except Cooper.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's pretty much where I'm at as well.
And Warren.
And then, as a stash for sure. And then I'm okay with Marshawn Lynch as like a running back 3-4 kind of rental type guy. I think he's going to probably finish somewhere around, you know, top 24-ish running back in at least this season.
Yeah, for redraft, I don't have a problem with Lynch.
Right, agreed.
Yeah, Travis, I did want your thoughts on Derek Carr again as kind of the two quarterback guy. We saw that huge, you know, almost MVP season in 2016, and then last year was rough. Which one of those is closer to being the real Derek Carr?
Yeah, I'm pretty down on Derek Carr. I just, especially with Gruden's coaching history, he just hasn't. I mean, the last 7 years Gruden coached a team, which obviously was a long time ago. He hasn't coached a team in 10 years, but he didn't produce a single QB1 fantasy season out of his starting quarterbacks. So that's 17 years now, if you want to include the last 10. But yeah, so he just, I don't know. And there's a chance that we could all be wrong. I mean, the one thing that I hesitate with is he broke his back last season. And I think a lot of people forget that. And so that could be more of a factor than we're considering. So it's possible, but I'm not going out and chasing Derek Carr by any means.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a little bit of a bummer. I was hoping you might go the other way there. but I definitely understand your reasoning there.
Ryan, real quick, if you don't mind, I'd really like to tell people about Squad QL, unless you have some more Raiders talk.
No, that's enough Raiders talk for sure.
Okay, yeah, we've gotten pretty heavy on the Raiders. Well, you guys need to check out SquadQL, and let me tell you why. I mean, if you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league, which apparently you do, or you wouldn't be listening to us three geniuses, well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and the whole free agent pool. So you're sitting there asking, like, well, how does SquadQL actually do this? Well, this is pretty cool. Is the app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and or CBS leagues. It pulls your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your individual league settings. So it's pretty cool. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL and your all-in-one fantasy manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily lineup. The leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer, trusted by 100,000 DFS players. So, you can also download RotoQL for free at both Apple and Android. So check that out.
Guys, our next question comes from Nick. Nick says, when is a good time to sell high for picks and players? He gives some examples here. Taywan Taylor, Chris Godwin. When the buzz in preseason gets too high, is that the time? Or maybe wait until they're actually producing? Nick's got a couple questions here. We'll get into these first. Travis, what are your thoughts? We've seen some good play and some buzz from these young receivers, Taywan Taylor, Chris Godwin, and other guys, including Warren and others. Do you go ahead and sell those guys when the hype begins, or do you kind of wait it out and I guess risk it that they're actually going to turn into something?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer, and I'm probably going to have to take the cop-out way and say that it's a case-by-case basis, because it really comes down to if it's a guy that you believed in, you know, before the preseason started and you like the talent and then you see that value bump, you might want to wait. But if it's a guy that, you know, is being hyped that you didn't like, you know, when you were evaluating the player before all this hype started, then that's going to be your window to sell, because some of these guys are going to produce and some of them are going to turn back into a pumpkin when the regular season starts. And so it's a matter of using, you know, everything all the research you've done pre-preseason to make that assessment of that player on a case-by-case basis. And then, you know, sell the guys that you don't really believe in that get that bump, but keep the ones that you liked beforehand. Is that cheating? Am I allowed to cheat with that answer?
Well, it's kind of cheating.
If it's cheating, it's okay, because that was my that was my answer as well. It really is a case-by-case basis, and what you said is exactly what I was thinking. It depends on how you felt about the player beforehand. His specific example, Taywan Taylor, is a guy that I've been chasing in all of my leagues basically since the Super Bowl, and I was able to get a bunch of shares, fortunately, before he had some positive news. So when this happens, I'm not going to take the chance to sell. Most likely I'm not, because I already believe in that player. I think we'll see better things to come for him. Chris Godwin's probably in that same range. Now, Travis, going back to your guy, Chris Warren, I've already said he wasn't a guy I was rostering or really paying close attention to. So if I pick him up and somebody offers me a second rounder, then that's the kind of deal I would make. I would sell a guy like that. But again, it just comes back to your expectations for that player moving forward, not only this season, but long term, since we are talking Dynasty.
Yeah, you guys are dead on. I mean, that's what I like so much about Dynasty, is it is scouting, it is player evaluation, so everyone's different. But I wonder if you took a 3-year sample size, a 5-year sample size, and every time one of your young players got, quote, hot, you sold on them. I mean, you'd be loaded with second-round picks left and right. I bet you win. You know what I mean? Because a lot of these guys don't pan out. But if you cash out on every one of them, I bet you win. But then you probably sold Russell Wilson for a third round pick.
Right. And then you got to hit on those second round picks too.
Well, then you got to do something with them. Right.
Yeah. I do think that brings up kind of another good point though. I mean, two of my guys and, you know, we'll see if these actually turn out to be anything. Right now they feel like good calls, but we haven't seen any real games yet. But two of my guys this offseason were Taywan Taylor and Trey Burton, and their value has grown immensely over this offseason, especially in Burton's case, who's up to tight end 5 in our dynasty ADP at DLF. But at some point, even if you do like these guys, you have to recognize that not only are they no longer smart buys, but they have turned into players you should consider selling. I don't think Taylor's there quite yet. I'm still seeing him go for second rounders. But Burton is a guy that even if you're a big fan like I've been, you've got to consider selling because the price is not in line with the expectations.
It actually surprises me that he's tight end 5, but the tight end market's ugly. So do you think you could actually turn Burton into an anonymous 19 first?
No, probably not. I think you're looking at, you're looking at a deal like O.J. Howard and something. I think you could get Hunter Henry and something for sure. Mm-hmm. David Njoku is actually behind him in ADP. I don't know that you could get Njoku.
I'd rather Njoku.
Right. We definitely remind people that ADP is not necessarily a trade tool. But it's a good place to start, I think. So yeah, I don't think you're getting a first for him. I think you might. Taywan Taylor may be almost in the first round range. Like I said, I'm still seeing him traded for second rounders, even up.
Like I'd trade Taywan Taylor in a second for a first.
Right.
And I think people would do that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a deal that could be accepted either way. Matt, the next question from Nick is another one for you. He says, Kenneth Dixon was dropped. He names his running backs. He's pretty stacked with these guys, but some possible cuts. In general, Matt, I know you've been a Dixon supporter. Are you picking him up in PPR leagues, or have you kind of given up on that?
No, I haven't given up. I probably should have 2 years ago, but I like Collins, but I don't think he's a massive roadblock. I think Dixon is a very good receiver, but pass protection is a problem for him. I think he's their most talented back, and I think their offense almost has to be better. It's a pretty good line. You know, like some of the guys he's listing here, Ito, Buck, I assume that's Buck Allen.
Allen, T.J. Yeldon, Rod Smith are some guys he has that could possibly be swapped out for Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah, I think most of those guys, I'd rather have Dixon still. It probably won't pay off, but it might big.
Yeah, for me, and you know, I'm not a huge Dixon fan, but to me, he's one of those guys, and there's a lot of running backs like this, that Collins is a better runner than him, I think, and Buck Allen is a better receiver than him. So that puts Dixon in a bad spot in the way I see it.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are some of those kind of situations that make it tough.
Travis, any thoughts on Collins, Dixon, any of the Baltimore running backs?
Yeah, Dixon's stuck in that Amir Abdullah purgatory, like you just said.
Yeah. Yep.
But he's definitely – I think he needs to be rostered. I don't think there's a question about that. There's probably two or three guys on that list that I'd be okay dropping for Dixon. Probably Rod Smith.
Yeah.
I'd probably drop Buck Allen for him.
I would too. I'd rather Dixon than Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. You might be the last two on the train.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't know I was on it until right now, but.
Okay. Next question comes from Eric. He says, rank the possible destinations for Dez Bryant only from a fantasy lens, not considering NFL or if it helps that specific team. Just getting some production from Dez Bryant. He basically came out this week and said he would probably not be signing before week one. which maybe kind of seems obvious at this point. We know he turned down an offer from the Ravens earlier in the offseason, a multi-year deal. We know he turned down an offer from the Browns, a one-year deal. Matt, what do you think? Are you starting to think that we may never see Dez Bryant take a snap again?
I mean, he has to be regretting turning down the Ravens deal. I could see not wanting to join the Browns. But I get this massive feeling that he's inflating his own value. I mean, here's the deal with him. I mean, he doesn't separate well. He doesn't offer anything on special teams. He only aligns in one position. I mean, he's always in the same spot because he's not football intelligent or hard enough working to, you know, go about being able to line up all over the formation. He comes to meetings late or is sleeping through them, and he's disruptive. Yeah, he catches touchdowns, and he still has value on the field. But, like, if I'm the Colts and I'm not going anywhere this year anyway, why am I bringing him in? I mean, if I'd look at Dez and think, we need one more guy to put us over the top, let's deal with him, then fine. But I just don't see that team right now.
Patriots.
Yeah, maybe.
Everybody always says the Patriots.
But that's the answer to the question. That's where you want them to go for fantasy.
They're hurting right now.
They are. I mean, that's probably the best. That's probably the answer.
That does kind of feel like the answer, and we've seen Bill Belichick gamble on guys like that plenty of times in the past, even players that were kind of considered, you know, bad apples, Chad Johnson, Corey Dillon, guys like that.
The only problem, though, Ryan, is that's a very complex passing game, and that's why, you know, a lot of the rookies haven't worked. That's why they've struggled so much finding receivers. There's a lot of option routes. There's a lot of reading things on the fly. And Tom's not going to tolerate it if you're not on top of those things. And Dez probably isn't on top of those things.
Well, and maybe that's why. That's what I was going to say. We haven't seen or heard any rumors of that possibility. For his fantasy value, that does make a lot of sense. I mean, the weird thing is teams where you see some opportunity are the Cowboys.
Right. Buffalo.
The Ravens, although it seems like the guys they've brought in, John Brown especially, are going to work out. So maybe not a lot of opportunity there anymore. But the teams that he's kind of closed the door on already are the ones that do make some sense.
Right. I mean, Seattle, Colts, I don't know, Buffalo. Ugh.
Whew. He could get 150 targets in Buffalo.
He might.
bad targets.
He and Benjamin would be the slowest pair of receivers in the league.
Next question comes from Matt. This might be you, Matt, because it's a Ronald Jones question. Do you see Ronald Jones eventually becoming the lead back, or does he turn his dynasty value around? So we know Jones has been an interesting story. He was in that pack, that second tier of running backs, really throughout the offseason, and he still kind of is as far as rookie drafts go. Matt, we had the RB scout on, Adam Spinks, one of our favorite guests, and he gushed over Ronald Jones, so much so that you went out and made a couple of deals. And things have kind of gone downhill since then. Peyton Barber has won the starting job. What are your thoughts on Jones at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing overall how much that second tier of rookie running backs has taken a hit in, like, the last month. I mean, obviously, Geis, Penny, Michelle, Chubb didn't do anything to really get you excited, and certainly Jones. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be a lead back. I mean, I feel like I'm getting off that train, and I just wanted to see more through this short stint. And he's not a wonderful receiver. He's not the most physical guy. But these aren't new things either. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking about it now going, maybe I shouldn't have liked him as much as I did. But he's also at a good probably buy low point right now. Probably all those guys are. I mean, Michelle in particular.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think, and they're not coming dirt cheap or anything. I don't think you're getting any of those guys for second round picks, but You know, if you have a favorite out of that group, you can probably buy him for a 19 first, or you can sell, you know, depending on your team makeup, you can sell a veteran wide receiver for one of them possibly. I kind of like the idea of buying any of those guys on the discount because, I mean, again, we haven't even seen real football yet.
Even if they go a game or two and don't really get a lead role, their stock might even keep dropping.
Sure. But, I mean, we have to still, and maybe it's just rookie hype or maybe it's draft capital bias or whatever you want to call it, but we still have to think Ronald Jones is more talented than Peyton Barber.
Yeah, right.
and Rashad Penny is more talented than Chris Carson.
Michelle.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like all those guys really as buy lows. Travis, any thoughts on that rookie running back crop, Ronald Jones in particular?
Yeah, I agree with the buy low on most of them. I was down on Ronald Jones before the draft, and I'm just staying away. I'm still staying away. Talk about Amir Abdullah purgatory. I mean, his profile had that kind of written all over it. You know, he's a sub-sized guy to be a true workhorse between the tackles guy, and he didn't at any point show that he was capable of being a passing game weapon, and that's kind of coming to fruition so far. And so, I mean, he's going to get work this season. So he's probably going to see a value boost. There's no way that they're not going to try to prove that they didn't have a bad pick in Ronald Jones. He's going to get work. And so he's going to see a value boost. But as far as the talent and buying into the player, I'm off that ship already. So I'm going to stay there.
Yeah, that makes sense. But as far as, you know, talk about buying low on these guys, it doesn't mean they're all going to hit and produce at some level. But even talking about Amir Abdullah, I mean, look, we're what, 3 or 4 years into his career, and he at least has roster value. He's rostered in every league I'm in, right?
Right.
And he's done almost nothing in his NFL career. So these guys that are taken in the first or second or third round, they're going to hang on to some value. And even if you do buy low, you're probably going to have a chance to sell at some point, whether it's making a big profit or if it's maybe just getting out what you put into it.
I mean, I'm sure he does something good this year to get people excited again.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I was saying he definitely should have a value boost of some sort this season. So from that angle alone, he's probably a good buy at the moment.
Next question comes from Next question comes from Falco. Who are a couple of wide receivers that you see as potential top 12 fantasy wide receivers in 3 to 5 years after guys like Julio, AJ Green, Antonio Brown are phased down dynasty ranks? Well, first of all, I'm not sure that we have to go 5 years out. I mean, that's
a long time.
Right. That's
a
big window.
Guys, yeah.
If you're talking 5 years, there's going to be plenty of guys that are not in the league that are currently, or that will be top 12 guys at this point. But who are some names that might come to mind that are outside of the top 12 right now that let's say in 2 years might be wide receiver ones in dynasty? Travis, let's start with you on this one.
Oh, man.
Don't me to jump ahead of you while you think?
Yeah, let me look at this real quick.
I mean, one that's going much higher than what this question asks is Stephon Diggs. I could see him being, though, in the top five a year or two from now, perennially. I think the obvious answer is Corey Davis. I don't know that Mike Williams is ever going to be a number one, but I think he has nowhere to go but up. Cortland Sutton, to me, stands out as having a really good camp, touchdown producer. But I think if I had to pick one other than Davis, I would go with Kenny Golladay.
Ooh. You know, I think I just said on another pod that I don't see him having that wide receiver one upside. If we're talking dynasty value.
I do.
Matt, he's the same age as Odell Beckham right now and Jarvis Landry.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but okay.
And that doesn't mean that he can't help our fantasy teams, right, or that he won't gain value, but he's already the same age as these guys that are wide receiver ones, and in Beckham's case, wide receiver one overall. So I think, you know, these guys are 27, 28, maybe, when we start thinking that they're getting up there in age, right? Like T.Y. Hilton's 28 right now, and he kind of feels too old to be a wide receiver one.
Right.
Right. So I don't know that Galladay can make the leap value-wise to get up into that top 12. I certainly like him to gain some value this year. You didn't say the most obvious one, which is, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju is wide receiver 16 in our dynasty ADP right now. It won't be any surprise if he's a wide receiver one value-wise next offseason. Of course, it certainly wouldn't be a surprise if Corey Davis is as well. He's wide receiver 15. Travis, any guys you like in that range?
Juju's blocked, though. I mean, AB's there. He's not going anywhere.
Maybe in 5 years.
That was the question.
You guys are killing me.
I agree with Corey Davis and Cortland Sutton are probably my top two picks. And maybe, just maybe, Sammy Watkins in 3 years might finally make his way up there. We'll see.
I almost mentioned Watkins as well. I mean, Watkins is... he's 25 as well, so again, certainly not saying that that's old or too old to gain some fantasy value. We have seen guys like Hilton and Doug Baldwin really move up the ranks quickly. But I could certainly see him bouncing back. He's wide receiver 22 right now. When you look at the guys ahead of him, Alshon Jeffrey's ahead of him, Doug Baldwin, Adam Thielen. And we already mentioned Hilton, and then even the guys that Falco talked about, Julio, Green, Brown, that are still in the top 10. If we think 2 or 3 years out, those guys are coming down, and we've got to have some players to take their position. I do like the Sutton call. He seems like a major value. He's wide receiver 35 in our ADP right now. And I like Christian Kirk, another rookie to jump up big time, wide receiver 37.
Yeah, especially if Larry doesn't come back and Rosen looks good. Can see that.
Yeah, Christian Kirk is my boy, but top 12 is lofty, I think.
Well, it's got to be somebody.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Could it be your guy out there, N'Keal Harry?
You're getting into the Devy realm on me, Ryan.
Are you not good with that?
No. I'll look at the rookies come January.
You're in Arizona though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is the hype on him crazy out there, or I mean, I know if you do play in Devy leagues like I do, he's pretty much being viewed as the favorite to be the 1.01 next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just don't follow college football hardly at all. I got 5 kids in the NFL. That's enough for me.
It's like having 7 kids. I got one more name, and I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 guy, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Tre'Quan Smith is an every week starter very soon.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one. That's seems possible. Now, again, looking 2 or 3 years down the road, you know, you have to think Drew Brees is probably gone at that time, but we did have some news today that the Saints made a big trade to acquire Teddy Bridgewater. That was not one of our questions, but Matt, I would love your thoughts on that move and how you see that playing out.
So it's interesting. I mean, the Saints now do not have a third or a first next year. And I think that they are absolutely in it to win it. And from what I've heard, Bridgewater has not been signed to an extension. So are they giving up a third-round pick just to have insurance in case Breeze goes down this year? Or is there more of a bigger plan in place? Which I assume there is, because you really have to squint. But Bridgewater could be a Breeze-like guy. I mean, I think this is a great situation for him. Learn from Breeze for a year or two, play in the dome with Peyton, similar attributes, you know, above average athleticism for both, more touch rhythm throwers than they are driving the football. Both are a little on the short side, you know, underwhelming physically. So it's like the perfect mentor for him. But he's really, and I mean, he's certainly the backup for at least this year and probably two more years. Breeze has signed a 2-year deal, and Bridgewater's a free agent at the end of the year, as of right now.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part of the deal, in my opinion, is that he is a free agent. So you have to think giving up a day two pick, especially when they already were without their first rounder, that they've got to look to get some kind of extension done pretty quickly.
Right, I would imagine. And maybe you can get him for $10 million next year and then, you know, have escalators in there. $10 million next year, $12 million the year after that, $15 after that, assuming Drew's gone. I don't know. It's interesting, but it may also just be a short-sighted move and, you know, see what happens.
They're certainly playing for the present, playing to win now, like you mentioned. Matt, we've got a couple more questions we want to cover, but before that, let's hear a word from a new sponsor, MyBookie. All right, we're back. Next question comes from Murray. Murray says, how long do you hold on to a flyer who hasn't produced? Does it depend on injuries, years left on the player's NFL contract, or just needing the roster spot on your own fantasy team? Travis, in general, how long is your leash with these unproven players who simply haven't done anything yet?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of a case-by-case basis. But you've got to see something, and that's pretty much what it comes down to for me. If he's getting snaps, if he's flashing every once in a while, I'm much more likely to keep him. But essentially, I guess it does come down to when I need the roster spot. But I'm going to make sure I really need the roster spot, and I'm not going to, you know, drop some guy that I believe in for Rashard Higgins in week 4, for example. You know,
yeah, there
I
you mean, go.
It's got to be that one waiver guy that pops up that you really think is going to be a long-term asset for you. So I don't know if that really answers the question. But yeah, essentially just base it again on what you think of the player before all this happens. And then also depends on what the team is showing us that they think of a player. So for instance, if they bring in a guy in the offseason that blocks that guy even further, maybe it's time to move on. Maybe the team is telling us what they think of that guy.
I agree it's on an individual basis, but I do think something that's smart to do periodically through the year, you know, maybe every couple months or during the season every couple weeks, is look at every guy and say, is he a roster clogger? I mean, am I just holding on to this guy and nothing's happening? Is he just stagnant? If so, deal him for a 4th-round pick, throw him in a deal, cut him. Roster cloggers to me are my enemy.
Who are some guys that you might be cutting right now that you view as roster cloggers?
That's a good question. I'm not prepared for.
how about Dante Moncrief?
No, because of the Lee injury. Now there's at least a spark. But like Bilal Powell. I mean, he's not a... I'm just pulling up a list in front of me. I don't know off the top of my head, but I mean, there's many examples, I'm sure. I don't know off the top of my head who I would call roster cloggers, but I do think they get to that stage where we kind of know who he is after 2 or 3 years. Like I talk about with my Steeler shows a lot, like this backup linebacker, he's been with the team for 2 years, but we know who he is. He's not getting any better. He's not getting any worse. Move on.
Couple more questions. Next one from FF Down Under. He says, given the rise of the running back the last few seasons, do you think loading up in rookie drafts and then selling them after 1 or 2 productive seasons at his increased value is an optimal strategy? And he also noted that would also probably be paired with buying cheap wide receivers as they struggle early in their career. I think that makes a lot of sense, and we have certainly seen a running back boom, but these running back careers aren't getting any longer, right? I mean, they're making a fast impact. There's more talent coming into the league. Those are things that maybe have changed from the past few years, but at least as of now, we haven't seen any evidence that the elite running back is going to hang around as long as an elite wide receiver.
No, you're 100% right. I don't know if I have a lot more to add to that one either, but there's, you're right. I mean, I really like the young crop of running backs, and guys like McCaffrey really look good, and but that doesn't mean he's going to play 10 years.
I think that this is one of my favorite strategies, especially coming out, you know, if you do a startup, you build around the wide receivers, and then in rookie drafts, I'm pretty much always drafting running backs because of that short turnaround to dynasty value, right? And so these guys can come in, and in year one, all of a sudden, you didn't have any running backs, and now you do. And so that can really boost your team if you've got that solid wide receiver core to wait, maybe even win a championship or two before you ship those guys off. So I love that strategy.
Guys, our last question comes from Nirav. Hope I got that right. Sorry if not. He says, what's your updated view or rank on Christian McCaffrey and Joe Mixon? Of course, Christian McCaffrey has had a great preseason. We heard talk that he would see a ridiculous amount of touches, and we pretty much know that won't be the case based on that number. I think it was 25 touches a game or something that the coaching staff was throwing around. But based on what we have seen this preseason, again, this is one of the reasons I think preseason is important. He is going to see a major increase in touches. He is going to be used a little bit more like a feature back. Matt, what are you doing with Christian McCaffrey? Is he moving up your dynasty ranks?
Yeah, I'm really smitten with him. You know, like, I want him in redraft. I'm moving him up like crazy. He looks so good, explosive, more powerful, much more comfortable. I think he will get a lot of touches, but he doesn't need a lot of touches. So, yeah, I'm a big fan.
How high are you taking him? If we're doing a late dynasty startup, are you taking him late in the first round, early in the second?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking him in the Fournette Hunt range.
Right, he's right in that range for you.
Yeah.
Travis, what about you with McCaffrey? Are you falling in love like everyone else?
Yeah, I'm bought in, man.
Yep. This PPR upside is just crazy. And right. If they are, you know, if he's getting, I mean, even if he gets, what, 200 carries or something, that's not workhorse territory. But when you factor in the touches and the targets he's going to see, it's pretty exciting what his fantasy ceiling is.
Yeah, he finished as the running back 10 in PPR leagues last year, and that was averaging 12 touches a game. So 25 to 30 is ridiculous, but if he gets into that 18 to 20,
right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, give him five more touches a game, which seems easy right now.
And
he's gonna blow
and based
up.
On and based on the way that they've been using him in the preseason, I mean, they're backing up their statements. I mean, even last week he touched the ball 10 times on the first drive of the game and got 51 yards in that first drive of the game. Like, CJ Anderson didn't touch the ball until the third quarter. It's all lining up to where I wasn't really even bought in before, like in the off season, and now I am. I don't think I can avoid it.
Yeah, that's been really just one of the stories again of this preseason. And honestly, I thought not that I am a big fan or a believer in CJ Anderson at all, but I thought he would come in and basically have the Jonathan Stewart role and maybe even be better at it. But it seems like they're just viewing him strictly as a nice backup, and that's it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Travis, what about Joe Mixon? His preseason hasn't been quite as productive or successful. Is he moving down? Is he a guy you're still kind of high on?
Yeah, he's harder to gauge. I still believe in the talent, but I think right now, you know, I think he's kind of being drafted at his ceiling. The draft spot or the draft price is really the one hang up I have. I like the player. He's the number one in that offense, but you really got to pay for him if you want him.
I think people are probably viewing him as the last of a tier, maybe. I think possibly that's the case. He's, of course, he's going behind Cook and McCaffrey and Fournette and Hunt and these other 2017 rookies. But he's the RB12 in our ADP. He's actually going ahead of Devontae Freeman, which I think is a little surprising. But after that, it definitely gets a little shaky. Geis, McKinnon, Jordan Howard, Penny, Michelle, a lot of these current rookies that could jump him, you know, if simply put, if they have a better season than he does this year. But I think right now he's kind of being viewed as that last guy, or maybe along with Freeman, the last chance to get one of those possible RB1s.
I don't like him as much as I do McCaffrey, and a lot of that's recency bias because McCaffrey just looks so freaking good. But I still think Mixon has the ability to be in the Elliott Kamara tier, and it wouldn't take that much for him to get there. I think he's still a superb athlete, a superb talent that dropped a little weight, is in a pretty good situation. I'm still buying. At that price, I'll take him still.
You'd trade Devontae Freeman for him? Even
in a heartbeat, yeah.
Okay, well.
How about Melvin Gordon? Too.
Gordon's going ahead of him.
Yeah, I figured.
I'd rather have Gordon still.
Yeah, but I'd much rather mix in than Geis, Michelle, Jones, Chubb, Kerryon Johnson, Howard.
Are you guys buying the Royce Freeman hype?
I don't love the talent. I think he'll be the one there.
I don't either.
I don't think he's a special player.
I kind of wish I had some shares to sell high on.
Yeah.
Man,
I mean, we had that question earlier. You know, when to sell high on these guys that get hype. I think he's benefiting from what we talked about with all the other rookies. Geis is hurt, and Penny's hurt, and Michelle's hurt, and Jones has been bad, and Chubb hasn't really stood out at all, and that's all making Freeman look maybe a lot better than he is, and not to mention Devontae Booker. Same thing. Devontae Booker's just not that good. If that's who you're competing with, then you're probably going to win.
And Booker still hasn't gone away yet. You know, like, I know he's better than Booker, but I don't think he's special. And I don't think their offense is going to be great. Line's okay. I don't know. I mean, I think he's okay, but I would like to sell him right now, too.
Yeah. He's going to have, he'll have big games for sure in that offense. So,
yeah.
He's not a must sell right now. But I would sell him before the 2019 offseason. I'll say that. At some point this year, I would flip him.
Quick question for you guys along these running back, you know, in this area. I'm really buying into the Kenyon Drake, too. Yay, nay.
There's been good buzz. And we saw today that he could see, you know, Adam Gase says he could see a ton of touches in that offense, which is good news. I just wonder how much it's the same thing we've talked about on the show before. How much can we trust Gase in this offense and this coaching staff? They've just done and said some weird things really the past couple of years.
And they might not be there for long.
Yeah. Travis, what do you think about Drake?
I'm coming around on him for sure.
Yeah.
But I think maybe my issue with Drake and probably Mixon too is just the offenses that they're on. They're gonna suck.
Yeah.
So
I don't think the Bengals are.
It's possible.
Miami will.
There's some hype on the Bengals for sure. But I worry about scoring opportunities. I worry about game script, and so that worries me a little bit. But I mean, as dynasty assets, Drake is kinda harder for me to buy than Mixon. Just because he's kind of the guy that has the job by default, if that makes sense. And I could be wrong on that, but he's looked great.
Yeah.
And they're hyping him up. So I'm coming around on Drake a little bit for sure.
I saw a poll today. I think Curtis Patrick put this out. Who would you rather have, Kenyon Drake or Tevin Coleman?
Drake.
Travis, what about you? Yeah. I think Tevin Coleman won the poll. Won the vote.
Man, I think by the time week 6 comes around, I think it's going to be Drake in a landslide.
Okay.
just because people like recent production, you know. And so I think Drake's going to be worth more this season, in season. But long term, I probably go Coleman.
All right. That will do it for our questions today. We thank everyone for sending those in. As always, some really good ones that led to some good conversation. Travis, before we wrap it up, tell our listeners where they can find your work.
Yeah, I'm writer at DLF, and you can find me on the Superflex Super Show. That's our Dynasty Superflex podcast. Comes out every week, and then in season, we're moving to twice a week. And then I just launched the Travis NFL Fantasy Football Show, so that's going to be a daily podcast in season, and it's going to be redraft. All the episodes are under 30 minutes, so you get in, you get out. And follow me on Twitter at TravisNFL.
Very cool. Very good stuff, Travis. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.